Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360.
How your euthanasia protocols enhance team well-being. I'm going to say this one more time to our listeners. How your euthanasia protocols enhance team well-being. Welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. We have wonderful guests that are joining us with us, everyone, too. I'm so excited. We have Dr. Kathleen Cooney and we have Stephanie Messick that are joining us. How are you, my friends?
Doing so well. Thank you.
We're wonderful, Adam. Thank you.
Well, we're so glad you're joining us. So to our listeners that may not know who our friends are, now they're going to be your friends too. So Dr. Kathleen Cooney has been practicing advanced end-of-life care since 2006. She is the Director of Education for the Companion Animal Euthanasia Training Academy, also known as CADAS. You might hear us say that often. And the Chief Medical Officer of Caring Pathways Incorporated. Dr. Cooney is a past president of the International Association of Animal Hospice and Palliative Care and assisted in the development of AHA's end-of-life accreditation program. She is well known for her work in companion animal euthanasia and has authored two books on the subject along with numerous articles and book chapters. Dr. Cooney has collaborated in end-of-life training for AVMA, AHA, NAVC, IAHPC, Fear Free, SVME, and many more. She's a strong advocate for best practices in all aspects of end-of-life care and speaks nationally and internationally on such topics. Dr. Cooney is also currently working towards board certification in animal welfare expected by 2023. She loves all things old and gray. Oh, I love that. I'm stealing that. I love that. Stephanie Messick's passion for advancing missions which elevate end-of-life pet care began in 2012. Stephanie worked in animal welfare in Florida, then transitioned to pet aftercare services. In 2015, she partnered with veterinary teams across the states of Florida and Colorado to elevate their practices' end-of-life care by providing world-class cremation and pet loss services with the utmost dignity, honor, and respect. In 2016, Stephanie completed the Two Hearts Pet Loss Center Certificate Program in Pet Loss and Grief Companioning. During that time, she presented continuing education curriculum to veterinary hospitals, veterinary medical associations, and in 2018, at the Peter Piper Memorial Conference for Colusa Veterinary Medical Society. In 2018, Stephanie received her bachelor's degree in psychology from the University of Central Florida. And in 2021, which was just this year then, my goodness, she earned the Companion Animal End of Life Double Certificate from the University of Vermont. With her unique combination of perspectives, Stephanie is a dedicated advocate for best practices in end-of-life pet support. She believes in commitment to continued euthanasia education, building relationships with and supporting veterinary teams, and a focus on enhancing client and patient experience with bereavement support and exceptional aftercare programs. The reason why we're sharing this to our listeners is because I want also all of you out there that are listening, listen to all the options that our colleagues are doing within our profession. It's outstanding. It really is. And congratulations to you both. And thank you for sharing that with us, because maybe our listeners might be interested in what the both of you have been through. So I just think that's fantastic. So I really wanted to make sure that we got those bios in there. So thank you so much for that. Incredible. So
thanks, Adam. Thanks.
Yeah. My pleasure. My pleasure. So, you know, let's get into it too. So talk to me a little bit about, you know, like the mission of what we're doing. We're going to talk about CADA, and CADA stands on how euthanasia protocols impact a veterinary hospital. So Dr. Cooney, tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So those who know me, who've kind of followed my career a bit, they know that I started as a home euthanasia provider out here in beautiful Colorado. And, you know, I really started to hone this, my skills and shape the way that euthanasia experience should be. And it went really well. And a lot of practitioners reaching out going, kind of, what's your secret recipe? What are you doing that we're not, right? So that our team is more satisfied, they're more sustained in their work, clients are happier, pets are having a better exit. And I really started to develop a training program, right? I started with a couple books and then thought, what can we do now to really get it into the culture of a hospital to deliver euthanasia the right way? And that's really what the CADA program's, you know, completely about. So it, again, it stands for the Companion Animal Euthanasia Training Academy. And we wanted to teach veterinarians who've been out in the field for a while, as well as nurses, right? Because we know that nurses are so important in euthanasia related work. We wanted practice managers to understand about the intricacies and the complexities of euthanasia, including the business side of it. and also to get in front of veterinary students before they even got out into private practice. And I don't know if you know this, Adam, or even really thought about it, but euthanasia is considered among the top five appointments, most common appointments that we do in vet med. In fact, I've heard it up there number two of how common this appointment is. And because it's so common, we know it's going to touch our hospitals almost every day.
It really does.
Almost every day.
Yeah, it really does. Stephanie, what are your thoughts on that too? How does the sense on euthanasia protocols impacting a veterinary hospital?
You know, I think that if we can dedicate and commit our focus on enhancing these protocols, it's going to elevate the overall experience for the pet, patient, our client, and the entire veterinary team. If we can focus on team support, euthanasia can be not just the sad part of what we do, but something that is truly fulfilling and uplifting.
Yeah, it really is.
I'd like to piggyback on that, Adam.
Let me
piggyback on that really quick, because Stephanie is absolutely right. And what we found is that those who do a lot of euthanasia related work in their hospitals and they do it well actually gravitate towards euthanasia, right? Where they're like, oh, I get a chance to sit down and really be involved with these families and get to see that human animal bond. And it's just such a tender time. And, you know, myself, I got to the point where I was performing 10 euthanasias a day in private practice, right? In that mobile sector. And I was ready to do it again the next day. So what were we doing? Those of us who are in this field, what are we doing that allows that to happen? And how can we share that with veterinary hospitals, the brick and mortars that might be ERs where they're, you know, 50 euthanasias a week or more, that they harness what we call euharmony, right? Instead of eharmony, it's euharmony with the EU, like good harmony. And so that we're not shying away from it, that we say that, wow, this is actually a really important part of my day and I'm going to feel good about it.
Yeah, you really are going to feel good. You feel fulfilled too, that you're actually doing a great service for them. And, you know, we talk a lot about in this profession about emotional intelligence. And I was always thinking like how we transfer emotional intelligence on to end of life care. And so how do you think that, you know, approach, how do you have that approach in those euthanasia appointments?
You know, I'll start by saying that CADA has lots of different training modules out there regarding anything to do with euthanasia, of course. One of my favorites is our emotionally intelligent euthanasia module, because it helps us to dial things down and look at our soft skills, right? We know we need those technical skills to deliver a competent euthanasia with all the different methods that are available now, especially in private practice. But the way that I approach a euthanasia, I need to slow myself down. All team members do, right? We need to slow down. We need to understand that what we're about to walk into is potentially the most catastrophic and potentially emotionally traumatic event that this family might ever go through. It's hard to say. And that what it took them to get to that room needs to be respected, right? All the decision-making, all the backstory, everything that's so detailed in that pet and that family's life. So one of the things that CADA always teaches is to, before you walk in that room, is to certainly review the appointment, right? Review who's going to be in there and what that relationship looks like. What is the signalment, of course, of our patient, and what are we going to do for the technical side of it? But how fearful might our patient be, and what can we do to help to create that calm space? But we advocate to put a picture of the human animal bond right outside of that comfort room or that exam room, that you stand and you pause and you look at that, you take some deep breaths and you really center yourself. Let all that energy of the day go, right? When we're really amped up, when we call that sympathetic tone, we're all ratcheted up. No. And just relax and take those deep breaths and then get ready to walk in the room and be present. Emotional intelligence is all about being present. Therefore, you can pick up on all those physical signs, you know, all their nonverbal cues. We can be very empathetic and extremely, extremely supportive and understanding.
Yeah, that's great. You know, Stephanie, I also think of, as a general practitioner now, we've always been busy, but I just feel like we've been busier, you know, with everything going on. And then, you know, put that and compounding that with end of life care. What are some recommendations you can give the listeners in terms of leveraging the entire team to help, you know, try to help minimize some of that burnout feeling that we all feel but yet how to utilize the team to their bestest ability. I know that's not a word, but I like it.
Sure. You know, CADA advocates for the implementation of a euthanasia attendant. And this is somebody who is that family's dedicated point person throughout their entire experience. That way, no matter how much time the veterinarian has in and out of their appointment or the nurses and the technicians, there is one point person that that family can turn to guide them through that entire journey. And that's going to help us build rapport, build trust, and build relationships with those clients, regardless of anything else that might be going on in the hospital at that time.
I think that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. That's the first time I've ever hearing this too, Dr. Cooney. I was like, that's wonderful. My goodness.
Yeah. That's our job, is to think about euthanasia with, you know, with a different lens, right? Yeah. What can we do in every step of the way to care for these families? And because what we've learned is that the pets themselves, the animals that we're helping with euthanasia, as long as we are, you know, we're working with them in a respectful manner, we're gentle, we move slow, we provide treats, whatever we can do to reduce that fear, anxiety, and stress. And we're big fans of the Fear-Free program. Then we're doing our job right with the patient. So much of what we need to do is for the family. And therefore, that takes a lot of skills from the veterinary team to be able to manage all of those different, you know, again, complexities that they bring to the table. So if we can keep them balanced and very comfortable and establish rapport and that trust from beginning to end, then we're doing a good job.
Yeah, you really are. You know, it's like the technician or the assistant that I can't begin how many times that they have sat in the cars with them before COVID, of course, or even just staying by curbside to make sure they're okay to drive, you know, just to give them that moment. And you're right. You really do need somebody to just be there to listen to cry on, to whatever it is. But I agree with you both. I think that's brilliant to have, because in this day and age, we're worried about mental health. We want to make sure that they're okay as okay can be during that traumatic experience. So I, my hat's off to you. I think that's just fantastic. So the other thing I wanted to talk to you while I have you both here, there is a shortage, as a veterinarian, this has happened to me, about pentobarbital shortage too. So Dr. Cooney, what can you share with us about regarding the pentobarbital shortage that the US has been experiencing?
Yeah, so we really were feeling that pinch probably around March, April, May. Around later in June, things started to lift. You know, our pentobarbital shortage here in the United States happened because of just manufacturing overseas. It just wasn't being produced as fast as it normally would be due to COVID and a few other factors, but we're getting it back in. So that pinch is now lifting, at least here in the United States. And it is increasing in some other countries where pentobarbital, there was one factory that actually had an explosion. And so Canada, for example, doesn't expect to get pentobarbital back in until a year from now. Right? So they're really hurting. But what we advocated for here in the United States was more of that conservation model, wherein rather than giving a little extra, which we often do, you know, making sure that we truly, truly achieve death, we can go with the recommended labeled dosing. And what the AVMA advocates for is 1 mL per 10 pounds or 1 mL per 4.5 kilograms. That's the norm here. So we said, don't go more than what you need. Just use what we know is labeled. And then probably start to avoid a little bit more of the intra-organ injections. Intra-organ injections are very common now in private practice and mobile practice in particular, wherein we're giving drugs via the heart and via the liver and via the kidney, which CADA is a big fan of, but it requires more drug. So we said, well, when we're conservation mode, let's maybe avoid a little bit more of those intra-organ injections, and let's go with intravenous, where we know it's that, again, 1 mL per 10 pounds. So there's other drugs that are out there in other countries, such as T61 and a few others. But here in the United States, it's really just pentobarbital as far as traditional drugs go. But there are some practitioners had to reach for potassium chloride, magnesium sulfate, as means for euthanasia, you know, agents. And so CADA has gone ahead and put together a couple of different blogs on those alternatives, including the doses and what's needed for unconsciousness before we use those and all of it. But Adam, I'm very pleased to say that that is lifting here in the United States, and we should get back to normal here pretty quick.
Good. Excellent. It's good to hear. And, you know, Stephanie, what is something a team can do today to immediately make their end of life protocols a little bit better? After hearing this, I'm thinking, what are some things or action items that they can do right away?
You know, I would encourage pre-planning whenever possible. There are certainly, there's appointments where euthanasia is not the expected outcome, but anytime that we can encourage our clients to pre-plan what is important to them with the end of life journey, with their aftercare preferences, that can immediately make the experience smoother. We really encourage, regardless of what else is going on, that the team slow down and really take that time to establish rapport. When a relationship is built, when that trust is connected, there's a lot more grace from our families, from other things that may occur. The relationship and trust is that key component there to ensure that the families have a smooth experience and they trust us enough to continue to walk back through our doors, because we know that attrition happens in veterinary hospitals after euthanasia takes place. And then finally, we really encourage a team to develop out a euthanasia team training manual. And that's a resource that we can provide and that we can help teams build out to really solidify the best protocols for their team.
That's fantastic. Again, this is wonderful. You referenced earlier, Kathleen, about the ACADA, and I know that they have a training academy too. So tell our listeners how that, you know, how the training academy can really help veterinary professionals.
Yeah, so the entire ACADA program is centered around what we call our master certificate program. It's 10 hours, and it is dedicated to the history of euthanasia, to caregiver and pet considerations. We talk a lot about the drugs that we use and how they work on the body. One of the hot topics right now is pre-euthanasia sedation and anesthesia, right? What are these combos that we should be using to elicit sleep before death comes? So that's really at the heart and center of what CADA is all about, is the CADA Master Program. And part of that certificate, which I cannot be more excited about, is our laboratory. We actually have a cadaver laboratory where our students come in and they practice the 5 different injection techniques that are available, advocated for by the AVMA. And so they're working with the cadavers to build that muscle memory, to get familiar and comfortable with the injections, rather than having to do those in front of clients. So we absolutely adore being able to bring this into the universities, to work with the veterinary students, to help them to understand best practices and competencies. Then beyond our master program, we also have just additional modules that our graduates can take at any time, and even non-grads that want to jump in and learn about exotic euthanasia or home euthanasia. We even have one called Euthanasia Around the World, because we are very much an international group. And so that's really at the core of our mission, is education. And then we've got blogs and we've got, book resources, and we train in person and online, right? COVID was really important for the CADA program to get out there and let these professionals that needed CE get a chance to have get access to it right away with our online courses. That was really pivotal and a game changer. So that's what CADA is all about, is just education to improve the overall experience for the pet, caregiver, and veterinary team.
Absolutely fantastic. Wonderful, wonderful. And Stephanie, so where can our listeners find more information about everything?
Sure. So all things CADA can be found right directly through our website, cadainternational.com. I encourage all veterinary professionals who are on social media to join our private euthanasia discussion group. And that's a safe place where veterinary professionals gather to, share best practices, discuss case reviews, find the latest up-to-date information that CADA shares as new modules become available. It's also where you can keep up with our trainings and where you can expect to see us next. So that Facebook discussion group is, if you search in groups, it's cada.euthanasia.forum.
I'm writing this in because I didn't know that was there either. This is fantastic. Where can we find any additional social media aspects that CADA is on?
We do have a main Facebook page, additionally outside of that closed discussion group, and you can also find us on LinkedIn.
Excellent. This has been so wonderful. Thank you so much for your work, both of you, Dr. Kathleen Cooney and Stephanie Messick. Thank you so much to you and to CADA for really advancing the profession the way it needs to be.
Thank you so much. Grateful for your time as well and for all that you're doing.
And Adam, thank you for inviting CADA in to speak to the DVM 360 audience. We absolutely love the Fetch conference we were just at in Kansas City, and hope to do a lot more work with your group.
Yeah, so stay tuned to our listeners, because you are going to see Kata in the live conference setting, which I think is fantastic. It's another way that we can, you know, work and collaborate together and, again, advance the profession and do for the greater good of that human-animal bond. Nothing, I said this before in an interview, nothing is stronger. You got ionic bonds, covalent bonds, but the strongest bond on the planet, the human-animal bond.
Nice.
Thank you so much again. And thank you to our listeners for tuning in. Please stay safe out there. Thank you for all your work and continue to stay pawsome. Take care, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay pawsome.